All right, so today we're going to speak about the problem with the current fitness niche. So basically, we prepared a whole new webinar recently. And so what we're going to do here is that we're going to speak about the different topics from that webinar, and we're going to expand and we're going to dive deeper. So today we're going to speak about the problem with the fitness niche. And so the main issue that Mark and I see is that the results that the gym members or the personal training clients get are actually oftentimes not that great. And even if some clients would get great results, it's not for all of the clients, right? It's like a small fraction of the clients would actually reach their goals. Right, some would get amazing transformational results, lose weight, get their energy levels back, feel more confident, etc., etc. But actually, it's a small fraction of the clients who are able to reach those goals. And so here we want to speak about what's the issue with that, right? What's your experience, Mark, as a CrossFit gym owner? You've been a CrossFit gym owner for 10 years. What's your experience?
11 years.
11 years.
So I think it's an interesting point to be made that that I don't know who all is listening to this. I imagine if you're a gym owner, I imagine you probably are going to hear us say something like this. And look, I've been a gym owner for 11 years, and I get it, and I know that your gut knee jerk reaction to this is, no, my clients get great results. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Let's just get that out of the way before we move on. Okay. We have some things to say. They're pretty, I think that, well, if I say so myself, I like to think they're fairly valuable. We aren't trying to tell you necessarily that you are, you know, just a piece of crap. But what we're saying is, with regards to the fitness niche, there is a big, it's like, you know, you see like a value misplacement, you know. There's also a there's a results misplacement. Great example I can think of this is I just moved from Boulder, Colorado. I lived in Boulder, Colorado for about 5 months, and that was after we sold our gym and started our next businesses and stuff. And something that was crazy is like I was blown away by how outrageously expensive everything was in Boulder, Colorado. If you live in Boulder, Colorado, that's actually where CrossFit HQ is. You know, it's just unbelievable. I mean, to buy something that's like this big and like run down, it still costs you like $500,000. It's just unbelievable. So there's like
And you're coming from Texas, right? You're coming from the north of Dallas, right?
Yeah, I'm coming from the south, so you know the prices on stuff seem are pretty good. So to me, there's like a value misplacement here, right? It's like, is there nothing good about this place? No, I'm not saying that at all. But what you'll find is there's a value misplacement. You pay so much money for not enough value. It seems like there's a results version of that that's happening in the fitness niche. There's a lot of people participating in gyms. There's a lot of people who are willing to go to gyms. But of those people who are doing that, the percentage of people who are actually seeing their lives transform as compared to the people who are just going and then just kind of waiting out their next failure, unfortunately, is that percentage is pretty high. And it's a real bummer. And Remy's talked about it many times. He's got a big passion for flipping that number on its head. It shouldn't be that if you have 100 people, you know, 5, 10, 15 of them see results. In a CrossFit gym, if you have 100 people, the average, what's the statistic on this, Remy?
Well, there are some different studies, but basically it's between 5 and 20%.
Right. So typically your big box gym, LA Fitness, Lifetime, Anytime Fitness, your traditional just like key fob style gym. I call them key fob style gyms. Typically they're going to see anywhere from 3 and 8% is kind of like the range of folks who classify as like having seen the results that they want to see. Right. And having had an actual change in their lives. Right. And then you go to something that's a little bit more hands-on, like a CrossFit gym, and what are other examples in that same kind of realm? There's a lot of HIIT styles.
You can have Orange Theory Fitness or F45 or those kind of gyms where they would do like HIIT or functional training or
some kind of like a group style type format. It's right. good in that it, you know, it does take and it does kind of take and kind of amplify things a little bit. It's not just everybody out on their own, you know. It definitely increases the interaction with the clients, so you definitely find that those numbers rise up. And we tend to see that in that space, you see around 15 to 20% success rate. Right. Someone like myself, we were definitely higher, 20-25 in terms of like transformations in the beginning, and then it got way higher later on once we made some key shifts, obviously.
Right.
But 20 to 25 people, if you have 100 people coming to your gym, and you're only making 20-25 people's lives better and like drastically improving the way that their lives and their health looks, like, the hell's going on with the other 80, you know?
what the heck, right?
What are they doing, you know?
You have 100 people, 75 are not reaching their goals. What the heck? That shouldn't be the case, right? Yeah. And I believe that it's the case because gym owners only help with the exercising part, while actually the gym members or the personal training clients need way more and then just help with their with the exercising part. They need also help with their mindset. They need help with their nutrition. They need help with their sleep. They need help with their habits. They need help with so many things, right? How to handle their stress levels, so many things. And so if you only help with the exercising part, you're going to get a pretty low success rate, let's say 5-10%. Now, if you help with also nutrition, okay, now you boost your success rate. Okay, now you can bring it to like 15-20%. But then if you really want to like bring it to like something like 80-90% success rate or even more, you need to be doing some other things, And so
I fully believe that it's just from my own experience, 11 years of doing this, I fully believe that like the gold standard should be 60%. Like if you can't achieve a 60% success rate, like that, I mean, come on, man. Like that. And I can say this from experience, you know, my gym.
Micro gyms, right? We're not speaking for the Planet Fitness. Yeah. We're speaking for the micro gyms with about 150, 200 members, where you're supposed to be actually providing great results, right? When you only have 150, 200 members, you should care for your clients and provide them with amazing results.
Yeah, can we define that classification just briefly? Would you say probably anywhere from about 75 to about 250 would be like the broad scope of that range of clients? I think less than 75, you're kind of a different thing at that point. And more than 250, it's kind of becoming, again, kind of a different thing. I would say that's kind of the realm that typically we see that stuff in.
I mean, some CrossFit gyms, they have 300 or 400 members, and I would still like include them in that micro gym category. But yeah, I agree with you. From 75 to 200 or 250 is how I would define a micro gym.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I even think that, like you say, up to the 300, 400, whatever, people gyms, I personally still think that classifies in the micro gym category, because the alternative is over here on, like, you know, LA Fitness, Anytime Fitness, Planet Fitness,
right?
Yeah they've got like 15 to 20,000 or 30 to 40,000 people,
right?
So to call a micro gym something under 500 is still fair game, I'd say.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because at that point you're not looking for just masses who just their cards just run. You're looking for people who are interested in investing in themselves.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So with that in mind, you know, I have to think that if you're looking for people who are interested in investing themselves, and we can't get at least 60% of those people to have that mindset of like, you know, I want to have at least 60% of my clientele feel like they're having that result.
Right.
And that transformation, that should be gold standard. I mean, would you pick a different number yourself?
No, yeah, that should be the minimum. And I think that you can even go higher than you can reach 70, 80, 90% or like everybody. You can actually put processes in place so that every freaking body gets the results, right?
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said about the fact that obviously there's like, there's rotation to it, you know, which is where those percentages sometimes can get a little screwy. in that you might have these people who are having really, really great results. And then you might have somebody else who just started. So at any given time, if you were to like assess, you know, what your result situation looks like, it sometimes can be revolving in the fact that you got new people who are getting their results and they're on their, they're already kind of there. And then you have the people who just started who are like still working their way there. So it's obviously an arbitrary statistic, but I definitely think that if you could take everybody's lifespan with you, time it out, and then assess at the end of their lifespan with you would be like, did you get results or not? Obviously, that's the only way to get a true 100, wouldn't you say? I mean, I can't think of any other way.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But if you kind of I guess you'd say, what is it when you scatter plot, you know, look for a collaboration of consistency across the board. If you can see that in general, although people may be down here currently and they don't have their transformation yet, it's beginning, you know, it's beginning because it's in their mind is where it starts, you know, and right. It's working its way.
Plant the seeds and then they're going to get the results. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what's funny is that when I speak with gym owners, right, when I have like calls with prospects, gym owner prospects, when when I speak with them, I always ask on a scale from 1 to 10, how good are the results you can provide to your clients? And oftentimes I get 9 or 10. And then I'm like, really? Like 90% of your clients reach their goals? 100% of your clients reach their goals? Well, no, not really. Oh, okay. So what do you mean by 9 or 10 out of 10 on a scale from 1 to 10? Well, when they follow through, when they listen to me, when they have a good mindset, then it's a 9 or a 10. Well, yeah, but then what's the real number then? Right? Yeah. Gym owners think that they're going, I mean, of course I love gym owners, I love personal trainers, but oftentimes they think that they provide 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 results, but it's a confirmation bias that they have here. It's a bias, they're biased, right? Actually, the success rate is actually much lower.
So let's speak about that for a minute. So, yeah. So if they're saying that they've got a 9 or 10 on a scale of 10 on success rate and, or in terms of their results, but they're giving it a condition.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
That's skewing their measurement, right? It's saying, they're saying, well, when other people do what they're supposed to do, it's a 9 or a 10. It's like, well, that's kind of a problem.
Right. Exactly.
So if we were to pinpoint the problem in the fitness niche, I think it starts there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's like, I can provide great results if you'll do all the right things.
Only to the ones with the right mindset.
Right.
Yeah. But the ones with the right mindset, they're fucking rare. They're so rare.
Yeah.
Actually, there is a stat on that. And the stat is that there is only 8% of the people that would stick to their goals and habits. So it means that when they say I have a 10 out of 10 on the results I provide to my clients, it's only about 8% of their clients.
So sure, you might have like, what is Wayne Gretzky's thing? He always says, he said from the beginning, you miss 100% of the shots you never take, right? Well, if you, same deal here, like if you're only, you know, classifying those 8% of the people into your number, then you only have to take your figure from those people, you know? So if you're only taking eight, let's say you have 100 people, and you're only taking 8 of them to evaluate your results. How does that make any sense?
Right.
You know, and so this is something that's, to me, is pretty close to my, I guess you could say near and dear to my heart, because I started my gym in the South in a small town where people don't walk around with water bottles in their hands. Like, this blew my mind when I moved, and I moved to Denver where people like value health, you know, more so, and people would like walk around, like at church, everybody would have like water bottles. And I was like, even the old fat guy over there, he's got a water bottle. Everybody person. I mean, where, the small town where I'm from, anyway, it's not everybody, but the small town where I'm from, if I walked around with a water bottle, someone would be like, what's the matter? You got some kind of like a vent? Are you training for something? Or like, it's just a little odd. You know, you're supposed to have sweet tea or coffee or something like that in your hand, something that's going to make your blood taste like, or be like syrup, you know? And if you don't, it's like, I mean, it was a real small town when I started this, 2,600 people. And it was just kind of like me and my wife were weirdos, you know? Right. It's like, you're not going to throw down on, you know, cake and cookies or whatever it is, or you're not going to eat this chicken fried, whatever it is. It's like, no, like I'm going to get sick from that. And like, so are you, but you know, so like for me, when I started my gym in this place where health was not valued at all, there was going to be, I had no chance of success unless I could get it through their heads, casting a vision to my people of the importance of changing their habits and changing the way that they do things. And right. it's not manipulation. It's not forcing them into it. It's inspiring them into their best, you know? Right. And so when I hear gym owners who are like, well, the only people, well, I have 90%, or like you said, maybe even 10 out of 10%. I remember when you asked me that question the first time and I was like, haha, I got this, you know? And because I know my results are great, right? And I have a reason for it because my mindset and what I do to help them with theirs, you know. But I know that whenever I hear from gym owners and they're telling me that they have 90% of success rate, or 9 out of 10, I'm always like, when they make those caveats of, yeah, when people do what I tell them to do, it's like, okay, hold on. They signed up with you because they need your help.
Right.
So if you can't cast a vision, if you can't inspire them, if you can't like use the heart that you have that longs for success and longs for health and cast that vision into their eyes, did you help them? Or did you just have fun?
It's especially when they are not following through, especially when they are not telling you what you're telling, they are not doing what you're telling them to do that they need to do. And this is actually what you really sell, right? If you're not here to support them when they want to give up, when they are not following through, well, they should just go to Planet Fitness in this case, right?
Yeah, like if you're just going to do your own thing, like, sorry, what did you?
Yeah, they should just go to Planet Fitness or to like just 24/7 gym. If you're not actually here to remotivate them and coach them on their mindset and keep them accountable, they should just go to like a cheaper gym where they would get the same thing if you're not here to support them with their mindset.
Right, which really is what we're talking about as the problem that exists in the fitness niche is our goal isn't to just take people and kick them out. It's not to say, hey, you're not willing to change your mindset, you don't belong here. Which unfortunately, if you kind of watch the trends of CrossFit, in the beginning phases of CrossFit, that was how it was. Yeah. That was the norm. Like this is what we're doing here. Get in or shut up and get out if you don't like it, you know? And it's like the thing is it almost seems in the fitness niche that you either have like a cult and the cult is like super successful. This is terrible. I was a CrossFit gym owner 11 years and I'm still saying this, but whatever. Anyway, the principle remains either you're building this like almost like borderline religious thing, which I'm not necessarily saying that CrossFit is that way. Although some may feel that way. Or it's like, you know, so distant from people that you're not able to actually engage with like changing their perspective. And it's like, no, I don't need you to like worship me. I don't need you to worship CrossFit. I don't need you to worship, you know, yoga or any of these things, but what I do need you to know is that here our heart's desire is to actually help you change your perspective on the things that you do on a regular basis to help you be more healthy. Exactly. You know, and if you can change those perspectives, then there's a variety of different fitness protocols that can come that can all work, right? Like you and I talk all the time, like me, just example, Remy and I, what do you work out? About three, four times a week?
I would say four times a week. And I would go on a hike, or I would go kite surf, or I would go surf, or I would do something else. And maybe I have a fifth one. Yeah.
Okay, so
it depends.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm about the same. So how long do you typically work out for?
Yeah, when I train at the gym, it's about 45 minutes to 1 hour. When I go do something during the weekends and I go kitesurf, that can be 2 or 3 hours. Yeah. But at the gym, it's short. It's efficient and short, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I mean, for those of y'all who can't see, Remy has a shirt on, and that's rare. He usually doesn't have a shirt on. This may be the first webinar we've ever done where you have a shirt on, to be completely honest.
Maybe I live in Costa Rica or in Bali or, you know, in Mexico by the beach. I'm in the city today. Yeah.
Yeah. But my point in razzing him is that he rarely ever has a shirt on, and nobody's ever upset about it, is what I'm saying. You know, he works out 3-4 times a week and the dude's jacked. So it's like, okay. So he's super fit and super healthy, and he only works out, what, 4 or 5, something like that, times a week?
3 to 4 to 5, yeah. Mm-hmm.
3 to 5, something like that.
Right.
I'm the same. I've got 5.5% body fat, and I work out about 4 times a week. And typically it ranges anywhere from 15 minutes if I'm in a rush, you know, to, you know, an hour if I'm just kind of, if I've got time and I got a lot of, you know, energy or whatever. I kind of run high on energy. If I get too much sleep at night, I have to work out really hard, or else I can't go to sleep the next night, because I'm kind of high strung, if you can't tell from listening to me. But anyway, reason why I'm bringing this up isn't to say how cool me and Remy are, but my point is to, I mean, hey, that too, right? But
awesome.
Awesome. Yep. But my point is to say that I think people see folks like us and they just assume that it's just good genetics. Or it's just, they're just young. I got terrible genetics, right? I've got a connective tissue disorder called Ehlers-Danlos. My muscles are normal, like everybody else's, but my ligaments and tendons are really weak. My spine, if I bent over and you look at it, my spine is like a spiral staircase. It has a super severe scoliosis to it. I don't have great genetics, right? And Remy isn't just like living on luck that he just kind of is this way. All right. There are some simple things that take place throughout our day on a regular basis that makes it to where that 30 to 45 minutes or what I think you said, typically 45 minutes to an hour. Or for me, I typically range around 25 to 40 minutes is like my sweet spot for my workouts. There's some specific things that I do throughout the day that are simple, but they're intentional, that allow me to get the most out of my health. And that 45 minute time that I spend in the gym is just one of those many things that I do. And that's why, you know, yesterday I was skiing for 3 hours and today I'm fine. You know, the day before that I went and played hockey outside in 10 degree weather with my kids and with some high school kids who were like, hey, let's see if this guy can still hang, and I kicked their butts. But we played for like 3 hours and then we went skiing the next day. And the day before that, you know, we went for a hike with the kids and stuff. And so it's not that we're just these like gym rats. We're not that way. In fact, it couldn't be more further from that. Well, I guess you could be further from that, but that's just not who we are. We're not trying to be gym rats, right? Your clients don't need to be gym rats either, is kind of what we're trying to say. You know, they don't have to be just pounding the gym constantly in order to be able to get through. And that's, I think, what the problem with the fitness niche is I think people only think that they can get paid if people are coming to their gym and taking their classes, right? Which goes completely against what we're trying to say is people will pay to have transformations. People
right,
will pay.
And actually,
exactly.
If you could provide that with 3 workouts or 2 workouts or 1 workout, it would be even better for them, right?
Yeah.
They just want the results. And they want to have fun while getting those results. Sure, they want to have fun at the gym, make friends, but they don't want an unlimited membership. It's not sexy to them. They don't even want a 5 times a week membership. It's not sexy to them. If you can give them the results with just 3 workouts a week, now it becomes sexy.
Yeah, like if you, I mean, this is something that's really hard to get through to a gym owner, because we like working out, right? I like working out, you know? I also like what working out does for me, that's for sure, because I know that allows me to go then play hockey and you go kite surfing, which that shit's just nuts, man. That looks really fun. But if you could take that perspective, if you could tell one of your clients, hey, like let's say a guy walks in. If you're a girl, then extrapolate this to the female side, right? Guy walks in and I'm like, hey, you could look like Remy if you worked out one time a week and made some shifts on your mindset, on how you view health throughout the rest of your day. And the guy's like, bull crap. Right. You think that you have to sell him on this membership that's going to be, he's got to be there 5 days a week. And he's expecting that. He walks in expecting that that's what he's going to do. Guess what he also expects? He walks in expecting failure. You know, he walks in expecting that if you tell him he's going to have to be there five, he expects that you're going to tell him you're going to have to be there 5 days a week for an hour each if you want to look like Remy. Sorry, man. That's how it's going to go. And if that's what you tell him, he's, well, first of all, he's expecting that problem. Okay. Next problem is that when you tell him that, he's going to unfortunately assume this perspective of like, man, how could I ever do that? Or like, even if he's super determined, at some point in time, his willpower will give out and he's going to be like, exactly. I can't follow through on it. So he expects you to tell him that he's going to need to be there all the time. And then he kind of expects himself to fail, which really sucks. And that causes this really weird problem within the fitness niche in which people assume failure and kind of just accept it and just like go with it. And I'm just like, oh, it doesn't have to be like that. You know, like you can go in and have someone tell you that they can actually make changes in your life. And then you can start believing it. You know, that's how this should go.
Right. And there is that mentality, that mindset in the fitness niche for the coaches, right? To tell their clients, hey, no pain, no gain. Just do it. You know, like it's the Nike slogan. I think it's a good slogan, but it's only a good slogan for people who have a competitive mindset. For regular people, actually, to just do it is like, okay, you know, like it's not actually motivating them. No pain, no gain. What else? You know, like what are all those sayings, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. They don't really do anything for me, so I don't really know. I'm very internally driven. So like I have to believe in something in order to be able to do it. So I don't even know what those things are anymore, to be honest. Right. But I've heard of Nike, though.
But many coaches would like use that kind of coaching to motivate their clients, but it's just not working. Coaching doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not motivational. What it is it's rigid.
The opposite, and actually, yeah.
What's that?
It actually does the opposite. So maybe it would motivate them for a little bit, and then you know the gym member or the personal training client. We'd be like, okay, yeah, no pain, no gain. Okay, yeah, just do it. Okay, cool. But they might do it for a month and, you know, like try to build up their willpower. But at some point, their willpower will run out because we only have a finite amount of willpower. And then it just runs out. Yeah.
No matter what, even if your willpower is like super, super high, at some point, it's gonna be empty. Right. So that reminds me of this client I had. His name was, well, I won't disclose his name. This just make things easier. Really, really good dude. I really enjoy getting to work with him. He signed up for health coaching with me. Okay. He was a member of my gym already paying. I don't know how much my membership at the time was like $159. So he was a unlimited 12-month contract member. Right. And I could tell he was working really hard and trying to figure out how to get the next level of results. And I was like, hey, you know, I do health and nutrition coaching. You know, I can help you with that. I called it health coaching because it's more than just nutrition. Right. And he was like, we talked a little bit more about it and kind of what is involved in it. And he was like, you know what? I want to do it. Let's sign up. So I don't remember what it cost, like $2,500 or something like that. And anyways, this guy, I think in the beginning, he was really expecting me to have a whole lot to say as far as like, he came with like a notepad and he was ready for me to just like, you know, give him all these things he needed to be doing, you know, like, hey, here's your new diet, you know, like here's your new macronutrient, like eat these things. And I didn't do any of that. And it totally threw him off. He was just like, okay, well, this is weird. And so we talked about completely different stuff than he was expecting. And he was in that initial conversation, he was divulging to me that he's tried 9 different times, hardcore diets and, you know, long range diets and everything you could think of to try and like change. And he was like, I honestly have built up the, he's like, I'm honestly afraid. And this is me stepping out because I've built up a resistance or maybe even like a tolerance to my own failures, such that I've created scars over my own like approaches to this. And I'm afraid to even try something because I know that I'll go all in on something and at some point in time I'll burn out on it. And I'm excited right now, but I have like a scar over my excitement right now because I know that at some point in time I'll have a burnout coming and I'm fearful of that burnout in advance. And so I need you to know that I'm fearful of that burnout and I need you to help me with it. And I was like, whoa, man, we are getting somewhere. This is good. Right. So when he explains that to me, it just became all the more real that my approach that I was about to take with him needed to be, you know, transformational rather than informative. Right. He didn't need just like, I mean, you can Google anything, you know, I got a phone right here.
The information is there. We have access to the information. It's not an information issue.
No. Yeah. We live in an information age. There's no shortage of that. There's no question that there's plenty of information out there. I mean, you don't even need a computer. You know, this is good enough. Right. And that's the ski map on my phone. What's that?
For people listening to us, you know, just a podcast, you were showing your phone. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My bad. I forget about that. Anyways. Yep. So, but the point is he doesn't need information from me in that situation. Because he's talking about a very real struggle that he has that's come from years and years of attempting and failing constantly. And so what I want to be clear on right now too, is that I'm not saying by any means, even in the least bit, that your job is to be everybody's therapist.
Absolutely.
That's not your job, right? This guy signed up for health coaching. So my job still isn't to be his therapist, but it is to work with him on the specific issues that are causing him to have these health problems. Right.
Right.
And so with him, it took, I think it was, I want to say, I don't know, remember the exact details of the time frame, but I want to say it was 3 months before I gave him any nutrition advice or any exercise advice. And the whole time he just kept thinking I was holding out. He was like, so he kept waiting for it and waiting for it. And I was like, hey, so Have you lost any weight? And he was like, yeah, I've lost like 12 pounds. And I was like, 12 pounds, 3 months. And I haven't given you any nutrition advice. We haven't even talked about nutrition, right? All we talked about is your perspective of yourself and your viewpoint of what health means to you and what your approach towards health should look like, right? We didn't talk about here's how to do nutrition. We talked about, are you sleeping at night? Are you stressed all the time? You know, these kind of things, there's so many other pieces. What are some of the other components in that category, Remy?
Right. Yeah. We have like emotional health, mental health, relationships. We have sleep, stress. We have detox. There is 11 elements, I believe.
Okay.
That we categorized in our program. Yeah.
Yeah. So 3 months go by and eventually I give him his first like thing of nutritional information. And he really is eager to get right back into that overly rigid mindset. And over the next month, we met weekly. And over the next month, I basically had to stay on him about not returning to his own mindset or not returning to his old mindset about that one piece of nutrition advice that I gave him. Because he was getting locked in, getting overly rigid with it. Anyways, time goes by. Now he's been there for... I've sold the gym since, but he's been there for a couple of years now. And like, he's the baddest dude there now. And I just talked with him the other day and he's like, you know, there's no way that I ever would have been able to implement any nutrition changes in my diet or in my life had it not been that you took the time to help me get my head on straight first.
Right.
So that I could actually execute on those things.
Right. Yeah. It's really a lot about this. I would say for 80% of the results that you'll be able to provide to your clients is about getting their head right.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, you don't have to become their therapist, but actually it can be simple. You don't have to speak about their childhood trauma. But let me give you an example. A friend that I have, one day she told me, well, when I don't feel good, and that's about every night, I actually eat potato chips and I add a lemon on top and I add salt on top. And I would eat a whole bag of potato chips. So of course, you know, full of vegetable oils, it's fried, it's really not good for you, right? And so then she actually spoke with her coach. And the coach made her realize that actually when she was doing that is because it was remembering her when her mom was doing that, like preparing potato chips with salt and lemon on top when she was sick. When she was sick, that's what her mom was preparing. Kind of like a chicken soup, you know, but instead of a chicken soup, it was just potato chips. And so actually what she found out is that it's not necessarily the potato chips that she needed, and that she could actually replace eating the whole bag of potato chips every day by calling her mom. Because actually what she needed was the, you know, some love from her mom. And so then she
replaced
the bag of potato chips every single day by just having a 5-minute chat with mommy. And that's it. No more potato chips. And then she stopped with that. And then she lost a lot of weight.
Wow. Well, and that's really cool. And obviously, it's not always going to be like, hey, don't be fat. Just call your mom. But
of course not. But what you got to realize is that sometimes you can help them. You're not going to find it for them. You're going to help them find other coping mechanisms. Yeah. Can be much, much healthier.
And that's a really key point that you just brought up. I want to like kind of hone in on that for a minute, is that, like I mentioned before, and you just said as well, is like, our goal is not to become their therapist. Our goal is to inspire them into wanting to figure these things out for themselves.
Right. They will find the solutions. You're just going to ask them questions. So basically the coach, what she did here was like, well, what do you actually need when you eat that bag of potato chips? What does it remind you of? And then they found out that it was when she was sick as a kid, her mom was preparing that. And then the coach just said, what could you do instead? And then she came up with the solution of calling her mom.
Yeah.
Not the coach.
And I would even take that a step further of like, if that person wasn't, if that coach in that situation wasn't like hired as a one-on-one health coach, the system doesn't break down. It still can work, right? Let's say you had, like for me in my gym, I had a CrossFit style gym, right? And so I had, you know, I see people all the time who get people up on the, up to the board. I go to CrossFit gyms all the time because I own a protein bar company. So I'm at CrossFit gyms all the time. And you see a variety of different types of coaches. You have this coach who sits up in front of the board and just like begins to share their testimony of what this WOD's going to be like today. And it's like, oh my gosh, dude, like, this is not your time to just like, you don't coach just to like, just get to have words that just flow out of your mouth. We're not here to listen to you. We're here to like, try and take some steps forward here, man. You know, like this, we're not here to just like, listen to you just gab for no reason. But then you have the other people who just talk about what's on the board and just briefly run over it, and then they get to it. I kind of found what I think, like to think, and my clients seem to enjoy as a nice little middle ground, you know, take the opportunities that you have to inspire people, right? But it doesn't have to be long and elaborate. It's like, you know, hey, we're retesting this today. And the objective is that if your health components have been, you know, a priority to you, then hopefully you'll do better today than you did last time.
Right.
Right. And if they aren't, come see me afterwards and let's see what we can do to help you out with that. You know, it doesn't have to be super long details, but it can lead to opportunities to open doors for people. And like, if someone's coming to your gym and they're consistently not seeing those benchmarks improving or something like that,
right,
it's as simple as having it available to, that's how this opened up with this guy that I was just telling you about. Is I was like, hey, just so you guys know, we did a nutrition, what I called a nutrition workout, because it was a workout that I came up with that I know for a fact that there's no way to do better on this workout unless you're eating cleaner. Like every time I've tried this workout, if I'm eating bad, no matter how I like strategize it, game it, you know, if I try and like do my rest intervals a certain way, there's no way around it. And the only way to get better at it is to like eat cleaner. And I did a workout like that. I was like, look, guys, the only way you guys are going to get better at this is if you're eating cleaner. And if you can't seem to beat your times, it's because you're not eating any better. And if you guys need to talk about that more, you know, come see me afterwards and I'll point you in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And that's how this becomes now a thing. It's like, okay, cool. I'm not just here offering classes. I'm taking the initiative to inspire my people that, hey, we're not just working out just because we like mindlessly like droning on and working out, but we're doing these things with a purpose because we see the value in it. Right. But that doesn't have to be like a 10 minutes at the board, you know, and now everybody's like, listen to your webinar while you're at the board. It's like, that's not the goal. It can just be a short little sharing of your intent or short little sharing of your purpose behind what it is that you do. And that can go a long way in creating transformations rather than just offering classes.
Right. Absolutely. So basically we have only 8% of the population that can stick to their goals, stick to their habits. And we have 92% of the population that cannot do that, right?
Right.
But fitness professionals just want those 8% clients.
Right.
And so everybody in the fitness niche is fighting for those 8% clients.
Right.
And so what it does is that the other 92%, what happens to them? Well, actually, what happens to them is that 75% of the population is overweight. We also have 60% of the population with at least one chronic disease, right? And also what happens to them is that, well, in a COVID world, 94% of the death are related to a comorbid case. They have comorbidities, right? So because you want your 8% clients, you neglect the 92% of the population. And then we have 75% of the population overweight, 60% of the population with chronic disease. And actually, all those COVID deaths, for 94% of them, is because of comorbidities. Comorbidities that you can prevent with simple lifestyle, food, working out, sleeping right, managing your stress, not smoking, not drinking too much alcohol, just lifestyle. Yeah. And all of those lifestyle recommendations are things that fitness professionals, gym owners, personal trainers, can help their clients with. So the consequence of you only wanting to work with the people with the right mindset is creating that massive big, you know, that massive issue here where people are just more sick than ever.
Yeah. So go ahead. No, you're good. No, it's interesting. I think that making, If I were to define the biggest problem in the fitness niche is like, so I just spoke earlier about just one way that you can begin inspiring your clients to make changes in their health, you know, time at the board, right? That's literally one of many, right? In terms of being more transformational in your approach. I think the biggest, if I were to nail down just one of the biggest problems in the fitness niche causing for the situation to be such that the results are so sparse, or the percentage of people who are seeing results is so skewed in the form of like so few people see results by comparison to how many, like 20% is like the best you typically see in the a lot of the standard fitness niche. I mean, 20% is awful, right? So if I were to nail down the one thing that's really causing that, I think it's the fact that people don't think that they can get paid for it. People don't think that they can get paid for those things that you were just describing, right? Changing your habits, changing those lifestyle components. I think people think that the only way you can get paid is if someone shows up to your gym, right?
And also, I think that's also two other things I would say, actually. It's hard to sell mindset coaching. You know, if a fitness professional, a gym owner, or personal trainer is like, hey, I'm going to add this to your membership and it's going to be mindset coaching. Well, the gym member or the personal training client will be like, I don't need that, you know? Or if you're like, it's going to be mindset coaching and trauma-informed coaching. Oh, fuck, no, I'm good. No, like, I don't have any trauma and my mindset is right. You can't.
Yeah, I'd love to meet the person who's like, oh, trauma-informed coaching. Great, sign me up.
I mean, yeah, if it's not coming from them, they're not going to want it, right? You go see a therapist when you realize first that you need that. But if they just go, you know, to a gym and then the fitness professional is like, oh, yeah, you need the help with your mindset and your trauma, you know, people are going to be very defensive.
Yeah.
No, I just need to work out. That's it.
Well, yeah, that's all I'm here for, man.
It's because they're not even conscious that they need that. They're not even aware of it. Of course they need it. We all do, every freaking body, myself first, right? We all need that. But if they are not aware of it, you won't be able to sell it. So I would say that's also another reason. And also I would say a third reason is that fitness professionals just aren't trained on how to do that mindset coaching.
Yeah, right? True.
You do your CrossFit level one, you learn how to teach, how to snatch, how to muscle up, how to deadlift, how to do burpees, how to do air squats, but you don't learn how to do the mindset coaching stuff. So if you don't have that mindset coaching skill, of course you're not feeling comfortable actually doing it with your clients.
Yeah. And I think that, the mindset coaching skill and how to transform that in terms of your comfort level. I think it even goes to your own value on it. I know that a lot of the gym owners that I work with you is that they don't see it as something that's like of the level of importance that it is. Like, it's like, okay, cool. Yeah. This person needs to change their mindset. It's like, whoa, hold on. Come back to that. Okay. Let's lean in there. You know, like, don't go on to the next thing. Go back to that. Like, there's a lot more value in that than I think people, I think because like fitness professionals are typically untrained in mindset coaching, I don't think they value it highly enough, which means their confidence in it typically isn't, or confidence to sell it or confidence to be profitable with it is not something that they are really willing to like rest their loins on. You know, it's like they have to know that one, they can do it. Like you're saying, they have to be trained and know how to do it. And then two, they have to believe that it can actually have the transformational impact on people that it can have. And if those two components are there, then confidence is contagious, right? If you're confident enough to be able to support somebody with that and they're coming to you in a place of need, they're going to gladly sign up and gladly pay top dollar for it because they know that you're there to support them, right? And so I think a lot of times, I think kind of about what you said and what I said is, I mean, I'm kind of intending that they're fairly similar in the fact that I just think that a lot of people and a lot of fitness professionals don't understand either how important it is or that they can actually do it. They don't believe or understand that they actually can make a living by helping other people live their lives better. And it doesn't necessarily exclusively have to come from the form of them showing up for classes.
Exactly.
There's a lot of other ways of doing it. And quite frankly, if you would expand your perspective of how to go about that into the mindset stuff that we're talking about, I think you'd find that those percentages would rise. But in terms of nailing the problem that exists in the fitness niche right now, it's that It's that that isn't something that's valued very well. It's diet, exercise, that's what's valued, right? But if you can, if we could change the perspective and see the utility and the importance and the value of some of these other things, I think you'd start seeing those percentages of results start going up and up and up. But as long as they stay low, and as long as people are not thinking transformation, as long as fitness professionals are not being transformational in their approach to helping their clients, you're going to see those results stay low for forever. It's never going to change unless people, and unless fitness professionals make the changes.
Yeah, because the truth is that actually the mindset for everything in life, I would say, is responsible for 80% of your success. And then the 20 other percent are about the strategies, right? But sure. It's for everything. Let's say you could say for advertising. Well, if you don't have the right mindset in order to advertise, you're not going to be successful with it.
But actually, and we see that
the strategy actually is not that complicated. Well, you can go on Facebook Ad Manager and you click create campaign, and then you select your budget and you select your local area. You select your targeting. You upload a video or a picture with a text and you press publish. That's the strategy. Right, that's the strategy. Not that complicated, but actually having the mindset for it is what's going to produce 80% of your results. And it's like that for everything, right? It's like that for every single thing. The strategies are not that complicated, and so it is for sure absolutely true when it comes to getting results in terms of fitness or health.
Yeah, I've never thought of that in the form of advertising, but I can definitely say in terms of business, for sure. Like I own a couple businesses now, and I know that you meet people and you're like, you're going to make it. You're not going to make it. You know, you can just tell who's willing to persevere in that realm. Like, right. Like regardless of, I mean, I've met people. So I do general contracting a little bit on the side too. And I met a guy who's probably twice a better carpenter than me. I literally make 3x what he makes whenever I show up to do any kind of carpentry stuff, which I do just occasionally. I make 3x what he makes, well, at least 2.5. And that's just, I mean, I've never thought of it like that in terms of advertising and whatnot, but I can completely agree with that. I've seen it happen with for everything from carpentry to I mean, working with clients in the gym, but advertising, I've seen that a lot too. I've definitely seen that where if you don't have your head on straight, if you don't have the right perspective of what it is that you're doing, what your intent is here. Yeah. I mean, doesn't matter if you click all the right buttons, your ads aren't going to deliver. Right.
Right. You know, like the way I started with Mike's Arthur Gym is that I was actually doing the work for my clients as a Facebook ad guy, right? I started like that, where I was basically helping with just the marketing stuff. I quickly realized that gym owners and personal trainers needed way more help in order to be successful. But I had a bunch of clients who were on the first months, right? Front end with the front end cash, multiplying their money like crazy, like 10x, 15x on the first months, not even when you wait for the membership payments. And at some points they were like, oh yeah, but I spent so much on ads. You know what? I want to stop. You know, I spent $1,000 on ads. That's way too much. Yeah, but you made 10K back or you made 15K back. But they were stopping with the advertising campaigns because they thought they were spending too much on ads. And what they did then is that they just stopped advertising. And of course, when you stop advertising, then you still have your churn at the gym. And so then they were losing members. Just because they didn't get that, well, 1K is fine when you get 10 or 15K back. Right?
Sure.
So yeah. That's just one example of, you know, of having the right mindset when you do things, right? And that actually the strategies are, of course, important. But I don't think it's as important as the right mindset. And it's true for, I think, everything in life.
Absolutely, yeah. I just had never thought of that in the form of like advertising before. It's just, But yeah, I totally agree. Advertising, business, I mean, whatever else people do for a living, you know, I guess traditional jobs and stuff is if you're, I don't know. I just think about the time that I go to the gym and it's like, I spent, I don't know how long. I love CrossFit. Don't get me wrong. I really love CrossFit. And I did it religiously for 11 years. And I just know that, I mean, now I maybe do CrossFit once a week, right? But I get so much value out of the 30 to 45 minutes that I spend in the gym now. And some of it's CrossFitty, some of it's not, you know, but I feel like because I'm taking measures in the rest of my life in terms of health, I feel like the time that I get, because my perspective is on track in my health, it seems like the time that I spend in the gym, I just get so much more yield from it, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here we just we explained the main issues, right, with the fitness niche. Just to recap, basically fitness professionals are broke, right? Actually, 50% of the fitness professionals are broke, or just, you know, and the ones who are not broke, not losing money, they are breaking even, or, you know, I speak with them every day. It's like 1K profits, 2K profits. It's not much profit that they are able to make, right? And why is that? Well, because they focus on the 8% of the people who can stick to their habits, stick to their goals, right? And so everybody is fighting for those 8% people, right? For that 8% group, and just neglecting the masses that really need help. The ones that are overweight, 75% of the population is overweight. The ones with chronic disease, 60% of the population has at least one chronic disease. Or even worse, you know, like knowing that 94% of the COVID death are actually connected to comorbidities, right? And so you actually can play a huge role, right, on people's health and fitness. But because you just want to work with those 8% people, then you're not successful with your fitness business, or you're like struggling, you're not thriving. And then the ones who need you the most don't get your help. That's the main thing that we see in the fitness industry, right?
Yeah. And ultimately at that point, you're leaving money on the table, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You're leaving on the table. You're leaving income on the table, and you're leaving your freedom on the table and your time.
Yeah, which is really what it's about. I mean, if you ask me, that's what we're all in this for, is we have passions, but passions die out if you can't, you know, source them with financial fruit, and then also fruit in terms of the way your life looks. If you're just tied to this thing and you can't ever get, you know, clarity and enjoy life from it, but all you ever do is just enjoy it again, you're always stuck back in this hamster wheel. I mean, right, it's only so long, you know, before you burn out. And that's not a thing that we want people to see people doing. We want to see people not leaving money on the table. We want to see them capturing that. We want to see them not just leaving the results on the table, but capture those results. You know, I definitely think that if people can take and see how much foregoing the transformational component causes for the percentages of results to drop, I think people would make a lot of changes and have a lot more freedom in their lives, right? If fitness professionals would see how big of an issue it is to leave that transformational component to the shrinks, there's so much money and so many lives to change to be had by capturing that piece, you know? Right. So don't miss it, right?
Right. So here we just define the issue, the main issue is the fitness niche. And so in the upcoming podcast, we're going to speak on how to fix it.
That's right. Awesome, right, man.
Thank you so much, Mark. And We'll see you soon.
All right, guys.